such sights to show you.
Yeah.
So be prepared to.
I have a whole lot to say about me sneaking off to play this game.
Okay, are we ready to get started?
No, let's go. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Let's fucking do it.
Let's get this momentum going. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Bro.
You
drinking. That's your cup.
He sounded like a damn demon.
I sounded like Bane. What was that? Anyway.
I like to play Doom.
Who's here? Who's here?
James and Alex from N4L Gaming are here.
Oh my god, you almost spit on me.
Oh, sorry.
Glad to be back.
Yay.
Yeah, James was here last week. I feel like, you know, you barely left at this point.
I have been living in the closet and I popped out and now I'm here to do another episode.
He essentially has a permanent guest spot on here.
That's
it's like
fine.
The character that's not in the front credits, but they're like, okay, they're in like every other episode.
Yeah,
so yeah.
It's like when I learned the difference between lead and main cast.
There you go. See? Main cast.
Yeah. I will take it. I will come back as many times as I'm allowed to.
Awesome. Welcome back, Alex.
Yay.
Thank you. I know it's been a while. I was actually listening to the Resident Evil one before to get hyped up for this.
Just to remember the chaos.
One of our most listened to episodes of last year. So
what it was like to actually sit down and talk gaming and nerdiness. And
I'll tell you what, there was a lot of Cockburn. So
that's right.
Oh, man. Good old Cockburn.
That was a fun
legit,
one.
Legit. I was like at work listening and I'm just like covering my mouth laughing because of this. Yeah, I was like...
The incessant use of Cockburn.
Yes.
Listen, listeners, if you want to get in on that, Resident Evil 1.5, was it?
Yeah
1.5 is the episode.
Also, don't be born with the funny last name, otherwise it's going to get abused in this podcast.
Oh, it definitely will. That is a time-honored lesson right there.
I was going to say, we do that every week, so...
All the time.
But since we haven't seen Mr. Alex over here in a long time, what are we covering today?
Today we are covering Doom.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
oh my god.
What they said.
And then IMDb actually did give us a synopsis for this one.
It has a synopsis?
It does. It does. And, right. And again, listen, before we get into that though, this is part two of Space Month.
Yes, we're still in space.
This takes place in Mars, so we're good. Mars
we are
in hell.
Still in space if you listen to last week's episode.
That's true.
We have not left space.
We have not.
Hopefully, my Echo Dot won't start saying some
okay,
shit.
If it starts talking during Doom, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Jesus. Oh.
I mean, who knew hell was in space, too, right?
Exactly. Well, according to Event Horizon, it is.
See last, week, yeah.
I am home. Okay,
oh.
I'm about to fade into the darkness right now.
And James is gone within 5 minutes. Wow.
And he's just gone.
He's speaking through the Alexa.
Oh, oh, man. I don't want to be caught in that world.
It's like, guys, it's really dark in here.
What's going on?
Somebody help me. Can somebody summon me?
Please.
Alexa?
Oh, she almost did it. The fucking light went on.
I gotta stop saying its name. She who will not be named.
Okay, she's gone.
Okay. Okay, Alex, what did IMDb have to say about this bitch?
Doom. A rough, tough space marine referred to as Doom Guy is the only survivor in a hell-infested facility. He must fight his way to uncover a bitter truth.
Sounds fucking dumb.
Dun, dun, dun!
Well,
it has no story. It's
The initial one didn't. It was just like, here's a bunch of guns, here's a bunch of demons.
This
go
is
crazy.
Go nuts.
War, I guess.
You know what's funny is that when I was playing it last night to get caught up, though, it got to the point where you beat the first act and it gives you some epic,
and paragraph and shit.
I totally forgot to screenshot it so I could read it off, but it's like, oh, you thought you were done, didn't you? And it's like, I'm like, oh my god,
you can never escape the devil. Yeah.
That fucking Diedrich Bader voice right there, dude.
So it's
a good bitch you thought.
Right? You think it was over, son? It ain't over.
Not by a long shot.
You're in my goddamn world now.
Did you want me to say the developer?
Keep going, go the whole way.
I was going to say, James can say it, but...
Go ahead, man.
All right. Developed and published by ID software, not ID software.
It's not ID, it's ID, baby. ID.
You know what? Flip it over. What, James, what genre is this bitch?
This is a first-person shooter. Not the original first-person shooter, although it should have been. It's kind of like the grandfather, crown jewel of first-person shooters.
Oh, we're getting into that.
What got everything started. Ooh. So there you go, people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Otherwise known as FPS for the cool kids.
Mm-hmm. And originally released on?
MS-DOS.
DOS.
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 MS-DOS. 1993 was when it first came out.
Oh,
that's nice.
So, I mean, I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
You were... -2.
-2. Jesus fucking Christ.
5 years old. Okay. I was 37.
And then ported to...
It was ported to pretty much everything. And more recently, somebody actually ported it to a very working pregnancy test.
I forgot about that.
What?
Yes. So no. It's a little window that tells you if you're going to be, if you're going to have a kid or not.
Yep.
They literally ported it and it was a playable 1993 version of Doom.
Are you shitting me?
On
not shitting you.
Test.
On a pregnancy test. This just happened like 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Look it up.
Look it up.
Like, I remember it.
I need to fact check
No, you can fact check it all day. It just happened.
Google magic.
Like Joe Rogan says, Jamie, could you pull that up?
Exactly. I'm...
You're Jamie. You're Jamie right now.
Miss Webster, please.
Miss Webster, can you pull this up?
Or just ask your
The
Echo.
First thing, Doom, pregnancy test. Holy shit!
There you go.
Only comes up on a positive test, though, because you are doomed.
Oh my god.
All right.
The first line on this article says, no first-person shooter jokes, please.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, wow. Okay, smart. Nah, very good, very good.
Devil. You sly devils.
And what was the official release date?
December 10th, 1993.
God damn. Almost didn't make it 1993.
Dang.
But of course, this is, as James pointed out here, it's really one of the most fundamental games in gaming ever. Like, ever. So,
sure.
Yeah. Big deal. And as always, I noticed something, Alex, that when we do this episode sometimes, a lot of innovative shit happens because of the horror genre.
It's almost like... Horror is widely regarded as, like, groundbreaking, but then widely disregarded when it comes to, I don't know, like, recognition.
Everything.
Yeah, it's pretty overlooked.
Overlooked when it comes to recognition.
I know.
Awards.
Some of the most important films are horror-based, like The Exorcist, that, like, was groundbreaking for so many different reasons.
The first films ever were horror films.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
I'm sensing all that.
Are you sensing like some negativity, some bitterness? Yes.
It's okay. We're
going to roll with it.
There's going to be plenty more of that coming up, but obviously a big foundation in terms of the first-person shooter, so we're going to get into that right now. So, as we mentioned, the first-person shooter is kind of a big deal. A little bit of a big deal. So whether you've played Halo, a Call of Duty, or even a GoldenEye 007 when you were 9 and say your very first cuss words because your asshole cousin was screen cheating and using Oddjob. Shit like that.
Sure. Or the golden gun.
You might. Or the golden gun. Didn't remind me about that. I'm about to toss this goddamn mic. Anyways, most people have a good understanding of the concept is what I'm trying to get at here. Yeah. First
to update you, the golden gun in the game was a one-shot gun.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't matter where you were. You can just, boom, one shot, they're dead. All the other guns, it takes quite a few bullets to kill them.
And Oddjob was the shortest character. So people would often shoot over his head.
Yeah, you couldn't actually headshot him because he was like... at least 2 feet smaller than everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm learning with the audience.
Yeah.
Today.
No. Yeah. It is.
And if you don't know who Oddjob is in Austin Powers, he's the Asian guy that goes to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And they make fun of him.
Gotcha.
Funny.
And so it's like if Oddjob was really mini me in Austin Powers.
You know,
basically.
This is not a 007 or Austin Powers podcast. So thank you.
We're about to turn it into. Certainly, the thing about Austin Powers is.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, baby.
Who throws a shoe? Really?
God damn it. Oh, you're getting me on this.
Anyway. Move along.
So the premise is move around the level, shoot bad guys on the screen, friends or not. Repeat until cutscene or victory screen. Pretty straightforward. Possibly, of course, remind your opponent that you had sex with their mother. That's another thing if you're playing online, just so
right.
You know.
Teabagging, too.
Yeah, teabagging. That's right.
There is a whole lot of vile... insults thrown around.
I was going to say, you're forgetting the slurs.
Yes. I don't want to mention those, but those are very prevalent.
Right.
And mostly used by 12-year-old boys for some reason. And they're probably white, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We don't know.
white boy saying slurs they shouldn't say.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's staying a very, very good point.
Staying up way past their bedtime. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. You think, you know, with the amount of mothers they've had sex with, all that aggression would be done. Yeah. Yeah, I don't fucking know. But of course, there wasn't a time when this was not the default way to assert bragging rights upon your bros. Well, not until 1973, actually, so we're going a little far back. But one day, a group of high school students in a NASA work-study program were tasked with developing a program to help visualize fluid dynamics for spaceships. Yeah, that was a whole fucking sentence right there. High school kids. We didn't do any of that shit in La Sierra fucking high school. Just
not,
so you
not
know.
In the 70s.
I don't even know what visualized fluid dynamics for spaceships even means.
I didn't even bother to Google it. I just put that on the screen.
It's just a bunch of nerds, mm-hmm. man.
Doing mm-hmm. nerd stuff. Not like nerds talking about Doom the video game. Yeah. Right. All.
You were just enjoying the fruits of their labor. Like, exactly. You know, like... Oh, some 100%. People were, you know, trying to smoke weed out of an apple, mm-hmm. like doing those.
And 1973, some people were getting shot over the Vietnam War. So, yeah, a lot of variety here.
Gee, I wonder why out of an apple.
Gee, I wonder why Doom ever came about then.
Yeah, yeah, what kind of angst was yeah. going around in the 70s? Jesus.
Seriously.
But of course, in doing so, these kids ended up accidentally making one of the first video games. A maze game in first person, to be exact. So, being teenagers nearing drinking age, soon they added a second player to the mix as well as a healthy dose of Second Amendment enthusiasm.
You
yeah.
say. You mm-hmm. say.
This is for Kent State. Yeah. So.
Jesus Christ. What? Jesus
wow.
Christ.
Wow, man.
He's getting real dark already. Yeah,
I know.
We're not even to the help part yet, man.
It's gotta
get darker.
I know.
It's gotta get darker.
Anthony's just like any opportunity to bring up a like.
Horrible event.
A horrible, yeah. like, countrywide tragedy. Just like, I'm going to bring it up.
So anyway, going back to killing right. demons, am
yeah,
I right?
Yeah. So eventually, one of these NASA prodigies was actually accepted into MIT and brought the code for what they now called Maze War with him. So seeing as this is MIT, the students eventually engineered a version with 8 players. That was played over ARPANET, which would become part of the actual technological foundation of the internet. So,
ARPANET?
Which is probably what's going to be our Skynet and kill all of us.
I was going to yes. say, it sounds like Skynet.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my god, ARPANET's become self-aware. What?
It's the foundation. We can't get around this. Like, what? I just wanted to share GIFs.
Yep. GIFs, dude.
GIFs.
It's
GIFs. Beat up Alex!
Fuck that, dude. You just lost just so kidding. Much respect.
I'm just kidding. I wanted to stir the pot a little
bit. Nah, dude. No.
I said GIFs, too.
There are certain things you can stir the pot around, like Kent State, like I just did right now. Oh but God. When you say GIFs, that's crossing the goddamn line.
All right. Let's solve this right now. It's GIFs.
Fuck it. You gotta do the GIFs? Oh boy. Okay. So.
Man, I love the nerd!
As the years move forward, technology would become more accessible, and different first person games were developed with each generation, each adding something new, but ultimately being kind of niche. Compared to other genres like the platformer or racing games, which were hugely popular and as the decades went along. But where the 70s and 80s saw gradual evolution of the genre, the game was changed in the 90s with the release of Ultima Underworld. This game was far more graphically impressive than what was being developed at the time, thanks to the newest innovation in 3D graphics, texture mapping. So this is a lot of nerdy shit, but essentially a really, really old school RPG. Because it's so simple and you just have text and like, I want to attack here. They're like, we can put all the rest of the processing power to graphics. And it kind of kicked ass. It totally fucking worked. So seeing this, John Romero, a developer at the newly created id Software, learned about this technology and began enthusiastically informing another programmer, John Carmack, who replied with a simple, I could do that. Because 90s programmers were assholes. So, seeing a way for id to make a name for itself, the team got to work on a horror-themed game that brought this first-person shooter style to the masses. It did have a lot of work to get figured out before then, though. So, James, what work did they have to figure out? What happened?
Please. There was a lot of work. Moving on, Alex.
I don't have the script.
Programmers work hard.
They did a lot of stuff. Some stuff happened. Things went this way. Went that way.
You're like, oh, already released. Holy shit.
Bob's your uncle. We can't all do it. Bob's your uncle. So anyway.
Yada, yada.
John Carmack and John Romero were the kind of guys that made game engines as a hobby, as his I Can Do That statement provided us with. One of these experimental engines was so impressive, it resulted in an all-nighter developer remake of Super Mario Bros. 3 for the PC.
Yeah.
Which I never knew existed. That's awesome.
Didn't technically exist because next sentence.
Okay. The PC could not do side-scrolling at the time, but these wizards figured it out and decided to pitch it to Nintendo. Nintendo obviously turned their asses down, yeah. But the experience taught the team they could legitimately develop games on their own.
Dude, Nintendo's such...
They're such bitches sometimes. Dude. I love them, but then...
They don't want to work with anybody. They're like, nah, this is Nintendo. We don't need your help, boy.
They're like, no. We don't want any of our shit on this PC platform. That's never going to launch.
Yeah. Who's ever going to play games on PC?
How hard are you going to put PCs in every home? Jesus.
After several successes on Shareware, which is a very popular way to distribute games in the early 90s, Internet, id Software was rounded by John Carmack, Adrian Carmack, John Romero, and Tom Hall.
So, just a quick little point. Shareware, right? So, I feel like you should continue the trend of your Resident Evil one to say, you know, kids, and start like filling in these kids nowadays who don't know what the hell Shareware is, but...
You see, kids.
You can't. It's an audio medium. You're using your hands for like 3 seconds.
I know, but I'm saying, dude.
You interjected. You please tell the children what shareware is.
Let us know what shareware is.
You know what? Okay. So, you know what? I can't say it like you, though, dude. Like,
you have to say it, kids.
Do it, dude.
I'll do that part. All right. You see, kids.
There you go.
Just toss a potato back over there.
So, Shareware was like, what, LimeWire, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. But like an early version.
Napster, like LimeWire.
Yes, okay, so in the 90s.
Napster and LimeWire, I'm familiar with.
So in the 90s, I distinctly remember there was like a couple different ways to do it. But basically, the way I played Doom was that my cousin, who was older, like teenager,
yeah,
legit downloaded the Shareware file from his computer. Mm-hmm. And put it on what we call a floppy disk.
Yes.
You see, kids. So,
you see, kids, what a floppy disk is.
It basically looks like a coaster.
Like a metal. But it was filled with all the information needed.
Big whopping, probably 8 megabytes.
Yeah. The amount of memory that you like send those gifts you normally do, that was 10 times what a floppy disk had. Yeah.
So basically, Shareware was either just downloaded straight to the computer or put on a floppy disk to put in your own computer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it came in magazines, too. What? How much was it?
Capacity is up to 2.8 megabytes.
Oh, 2.8 megabytes.
Shit.
Oh, my God.
And by the way...
That's up to. That's the most expensive floppy disk you can get in the 90s.
And by the way, I played Oregon Trail on floppy disk.
That's right.
So we were using Shareware.
Yep.
What's up? You see, kids, Oregon Trail.
You want to talk about true horror? Try getting dysentery.
Try getting the smallpox in the
Or just being a really horrible kid and wishing that the kid you didn't like in your class got bit by a snake and died, and they did. And then you laughed at your computer yourself, and you never told anybody. And then years later, you're like, horror's kind of cool. Let me be on this Doom podcast. Never mind.
I feel like you're speaking from personal experience.
Not at all.
No. That's a very common experience.
Very, very common.
Very, very common. Where are we at? What's going on?
So the team used their expertise of side-scrolling technology on their first major release, Commander Keen, which saw great success on Shareware.
Ah, it was a platformer.
They released the 2D side-scrolling episodes to a lot of fanfare, but as soon as texture mapping was discovered, John Carmack's ambitions pointed toward a whole new dimension.
Ooh, they've only had 2 dimensions at this point.
Oh my God!
What other fucking dimension?
They discovered a whole new one.
Oh my God.
Over the course of 6 weeks, Carmack made a 3D engine that used their sprites and scrolling technology with a few other tricks to make sure that it ran quickly and efficiently. This essentially bitch-slapped any other 3D gaming engine on the market, and thanks to shovelware, they had an audience.
Shovelware
or Shareware?
I think it's probably Shareware, but...
Oh, I wrote that incorrectly.
Somebody screwed it up
already.
Again.
Shovelware is what you found on the Nintendo console.
You see, kids, if you ever wanted to get a Shareware floppy disk, your parents would make you go outside and use shovelware to clean the yard up, and then you could use Shareware.
That's a very good analogy. That's true. Oh, boy.
I had to save it somehow. Yeah, no, those Anthony.
God, how is it when you fuckers are on this episode, the typos come in the first goddamn section?
Okay. Last week, it was me. It's your turn.
That's true.
It's your turn.
That's true.
That's true.
So, John Carmack and his shovelware. John Carmack wasn't the only one on the team who wanted to take things to a whole new level. Artist Adrian Carmack, who was not actually related to John, which is really weird, was tired of the kid-focused art style Commander Keen and wanted to do something more mature.
Ooh.
Mature.
See, Utes. With a new engine, a new company that badly needed to make a name for itself, and some good old edgelord instincts, the team got to work on id Software's second major release, Wolfenstein 3D.
Wolfenstein.
Which is actually the very first-person shooter I played.
Yeah. It's
On May 5th, 1992, the first episode of the Wolfenstein 3D... Excuse me, Wolfenstein 3D made their way to shareware or shovelware and other outlets a huge success. With 4,000 purchases a month, PC gamers in the 90s really wanted to shoot Nazis. Who doesn't want to shoot Nazis?
Yes, great, awesome. But also, 4,000 purchases a month?
Yeah.
That's so cute.
And that blew everybody's goddamn tits up. They were just like, hold on a second.
How is that the analogy to you? It blew their fucking tits off. They're all sitting there like, this is so good. Shit, I'm kidding.
My nips are over there.
I like them.
But I can't stop playing Wolfenstein 3D.
Wolfenstein.
Also, last week we talked a lot about space titties, but according to this, they were shot off and floating in anti-gravity somewhere. I don't know.
I mean, Event Horizon was like 4 years after this.
There you go. So space titties were flying during that whole blood orgy moment.
Space tits will fly.
That is a song somewhere.
So Wolfenstein was making this new company lots of money, amassing awards in the industry and receiving major praise from critics, as there really wasn't anything like it, and id Software wasn't done. They knew they could go darker, that the levels could be more complex, and that there was a demand for mature, challenging games. But what concept could they use to push the envelope? Thankfully, the team had the answer right in front of them the whole time, in the form of a horror-driven D&D campaign, what's up, about using technology to fight demons.
There you go. Dungeons and Dragons is the reason why we have the first-person shooter, just so you know.
Dragons, I love that shit! Yep.
Dungeons and Dragons is the reason we have a lot.
That's true. No, that's fucking true.
Dungeons and Dragons is the reason we have RPGs in general. Yeah.
Mm. Like, we can thank Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I think everyone, every day, should collectively thank Dungeons and Dragons for a lot of shit.
Dungeons and Dragons is the reason I don't have an illegitimate child yet. So, thank you, Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's also... Yeah.
Anyway, on to you, Alex.
It's another form of birth control, essentially, just so you know.
Or not. Has it got me bitches? Maybe.
That's funny.
And space titties.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Initially, and this is me talking about something that I know nothing about, so this is going to be really fun. So initially, the team actually wanted to do another Captain Keen series of games, but once they realized they could bring the very horror campaign that they've been playing for years to life, they were actually super, super excited about this.
Captain Keen, I can't stop thinking of like the 1950s...
Which one?
The 1950s say, it's gonna be Keen.
Oh, yeah. Captain Keen. He just smiling all the goddamn time.
He's so Keen.
Thanks, I hate it.
Who's got a bottle opener? Nobody. That's still Keen.
Sorry. It's fine. I'm just trying to get through this as quickly as possible before I fuck up. So instead of working in a standard office, the team customized their work area to be dark and filled with lots of drinks and snacks and with heavy metal blaring all throughout the day.
This is like my everyday life.
Yeah. I was going to say, this sounds like a great place to work. Like,
I never open my goddamn windows, fucking never turn my lights on. I drink a lot.
I just thought of the part in fucking Wedding Crashers. Would that make you love me?
Jesus.
There's a whole lot of that going on.
Yeah.
So this greatly helped influence the direction of the newly titled Doom. So they even went as far as to name the office Suite 666. Fuck you guys.
Edgelord motherfuckers, dude.
Whatever. And they were inspired by the sounds of misery coming from the dentist office next door.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
These little fucking sadists.
Mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, let's rent the office next to the dentist area because we're going to see sad motherfuckers.
All day.
God.
Are you?
Damn you.
Go ahead, Alex.
We're going to come in real quick.
God damn it. So...
Go ahead.
Ah ha ha ha. Fucking hate my friends.
But we love you. Okay, because the reception for Wolfenstein
now.
God damn it.
Not Wolfenstein, this is the Swedish version. Wolfenstein!
He's drunk, he's pushed, he's
Wolfenstein!
Yes! I am among my people.
Oh man.
And for that reference, watch
A Knight's Tale. A fucking Knight's Tale.
Oh man.
And don't forget your shovelware.
Oh.
Okay, oh, because of the reception for Wolfenstein, because it was so positive, Romero decided to hype up their newest game in a press release before a line of code was even developed.
Jesus.
Which resulted in way more media attention than they had even anticipated. Unfortunately, this press release, Romero gave the impression that the game would be out within a year. So they had to hustle. Do the hustle.
Yeah. He comes back, he's like, wait, you promised this within a year? Yeah, but all we gotta do is hustle.
I wonder if that guy, like, made as many typos in his coding as you did in the script, Flynn.
But you'll probably patch it later, fucker.
But you didn't.
I finished this yesterday, you fuck.
Oh boy.
Wolfenstein. Goddamn. All right.
We need Phil's freaking...
Oh, we need a Sean Connery impression.
We need a Sean Connery impression.
Yeah. Can we not?
Can we not? Yeah. I can't get on Phil's level with that.
I know.
The best you get out of me is freaking Wolfenstein.
Oh, boy.
Don't encourage that guy. Shout out to Phil. But...
I mean, he said, fuck you.
I know. And I was going to come back and I forgot last time. But this time, fuck you, Phil. And your shitty impressions.
And we're coming back.
And we're back.
This can stay in.
Yeah, there you go.
So a total of 5 developers worked on Doom, which included the aforementioned founder and artist, Kevin Cloud. Early on in the process, Tom Hall created a document referred to as the Doom Bible, which sounds very fun, which featured the plot, backstory, and design ideas for the project. This included the idea of hell gradually influencing the level design as the protagonist begins to learn that the aliens are actually demons.
Mm-mm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John Carmack disliked the idea of the game having a story at all and rallied the team against Hall, saying, story in a game is like story in a porn movie. It's expected to be there, but it's not that important.
excuse me.
1993.
There is no way I'm watching porn without a good story.
I need plot.
Some sort of, there needs to be a heroine and a protagonist, antagonist going on.
Does the plumber fix the leak or not, dude? Mm-hmm. I mean,
was the pizza good?
And what happens when the pizza guy and the plumber get there at the same time?
Did the what teacher happens? Give her an A? Oh. Did she get the A?
All valid answers.
She got an A, yeah. Alex.
Yeah. All valid questions, I believe.
We need answers!
How fuck dare you, John Carmack?
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Boo earned.
So, Hall did his best over the next few months to adjust the Bible to fit the
book. That was such a casual way to get back in. Oh, by the way, hold on a second, there's more story.
You guys are going to give me a headache from how hard I'm laughing.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I knew this episode was going to go like this.
Yeah. Every time. Every fucking time.
I just knew it.
You can't have 4 of us in here. It's too much.
Oh my God.
Oh boy. All right.
Starting again. Mm. So Hall did his best over the next few months to adjust the Bible to fit the goals of the team, but the technology wasn't there to include a lot of his ideas, including a single seamless world. Just demon slaying, really.
Yeah, which to me is good enough.
When you don't need much more when it comes to it.
And even though Tom Hall had the title of lead designer, his ideas were continuously rejected. And it got so frustrating that eventually the remaining members of the team banded together and just fired Hall just 10 weeks before Doom was set to release.
Poor
bitch
bastard.
Bitch move.
What a dickhead move.
Bitch move.
This is that damn CarMax idea. And it's not they're like, no, storyline.
No, nobody eat when he's eating. Everybody fucking.
No, like, yeah. he's just like, okay, guys, I'm going to go to lunch. And they're just like, hey, fuck you.
Like shit.
Like, yeah, man, you have a good time. And then they write like 30 more minutes of code without him.
Does anybody want any sandwiches from Subway? Oh, can I get a meatball sub, Tom? What do you do? Like, oh, can I get a tuna? Okay, 4 meatball subs.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Jeez. Anyway, so because of this, the Doom Bible promptly made its way to the nearby trash can as the team had to make sure all their press release promises could be fulfilled, including a major one that was not quite proven outside of the days of ARPANET, online multiplayer.
Oh, God. Boy. Yeah, that shit was not proven. Mm-mm.
No.
It was not proven.
You're like, hold on, you want to have people fight over the internet? You gotta use their phones while they're playing, right?
And just like storylines in porn, it was not existent.
It wasn't fleshed out.
Things are fleshed out. But
not the right things.
Nah, got it.
Or the right things, depending on how you look at it.
That's very true.
Wow, so I don't even know how to segue into this
one. I think you just gotta go for it. Right.
Please, so, Alex.
Let's talk about multiplayer.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Let's go from that to multiplayer. All right.
Well, I mean, there's multiplayer in porn, too. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Pizza guy and a plumber. Jesus.
What are they doing to that poor woman?
What does she even do with her hands?
You see, kids.
Oh, you see, kids. So multiplayer had been on the minds of the team for a long time, but getting the technology there while trying to create an innovative new shooter with an art style never seen before in less than a year was kind of a lot.
No, yeah. It seems like a little bit.
Oh, you don't say.
You don't say.
It's not as easy as Wolfenstein, is it?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Boy, where's Phil?
Phil. Oh my God! Can you imagine just the chaos that would ensue?
No, we can't be on the same.
I couldn't get through a podcast with Phil. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, it'd be real intense.
Oh boy,
man,
oh,
yeah. We've already mentioned him like 2 or 3 times. Damn,
he's coming back. So
yeah, right. But not with these two. Because apparently, it would just descend into true chaos.
It'd be a 5-hour podcast right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Okay, so it didn't help that playing online against your friends wasn't exactly the norm for PCs at the time.
Yet!
I mean, it wasn't even the norm for anything at the time, really.
There was no norm!
Yeah. But John Carmack was very possibly an actual wizard. I don't know about that, dude, because wizards are into porn. This guy isn't.
There's wizards in porn.
He's into porn. He's just not into porn stories. He's a fast-forward
wizard. Wizards should have stories, though, dude.
Allow me to show you my wizard stuff.
From the night of Wolfenstein.
We're going to play online.
Okay, he was an actual wizard because his I can do that attitude resulted in the first instance of one player shooting another over an online connection, immediately blowing everyone's mind on the team.
And their tits off. Yes.
So we're going back to that, all right?
No, it's just they did both. They can do both. That's really innovative. All
right, okay, you know what? I'll give this guy a pass because it's because of him that we're able to play online and shoot
and
random
blow each other's
strangers.
Tits off.
Yeah. All right, we'll give him a pass.
And literally blow each other's tits off.
Oh, boy.
They had to figure out a name for this new mode where players would occupy an arena and attempt to murder each other. So I guess like Murder Arena wasn't there?
Yeah. Murder Arena. That sounds too much like Battle Arena.
Battle Royale hadn't been invented yet.
No. Well, Battle Royale is very new, actually. Yeah.
So here's what they referred it to in the first place was Cage Match, right? Initially, which
Oh, okay. I mean, they said it was like a cage match.
I mean, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm. They ultimately decided on the now default term for murdering your buddies online. Deathmatch.
Nice. Deathmatch.
You gotta say it like you said Doom, buddy. What you doing?
Deathmatch.
Yeah.
All right.
Deathmatch time.
Okay. While this was going on, the team realized they needed to simplify the game for the sake of fun. The main objective of the game was reduced to kill everything and make it out alive.
Oh yeah.
And all items were turned into simple key cards, and almost all melee weapons were scrapped, though the iconic chainsaw remained since this was pretty much a horror game. The now iconic BFG, which, I mean, are you going to tell people what BFG means?
Tell me right now, James, dude.
Go ahead.
You see, kids, the BFG gun was literally referred to as the big fucking gun.
Yup, big fucking gun.
But they couldn't say that, so they put BFG.
That gun was also upgraded, going from a plasma shotgun to a room-clearing death beam. It was a lot of fun to shoot.
Oh, it still is.
If even nowadays, it's one of the best games to... I mean, one of the best weapons to shoot in a game ever.
If you play the newer Doom games, you know that it's equally as fun.
Never gets fucking old.
Since the team initially got their start doing mods for existing PC games and saw some truly impressive mods for Wolfenstein 3D, they decided to provide the same opportunity for their fans and stored the data on WAD files. WAD? Mm-hmm. Files? All right.
I call them WADs.
Which all stood for Where's All the Data? So, where's the WADs, James?
Which is also what the pizza delivery person said.
You see, kids, WADs are usually in porn. And,
Where's all the data? Where is it?
So, yeah, when you order pizza, don't ask them where all the WAD files at.
You're going to get a real different delivery. And it is not DiGiorno's.
It is a first-person delivery.
Speaking of blowing somebody's tits off. Never mind, we're not going to go there. Too much. I'm sorry. Let's dial that back.
All right. This allowed fans to modify the game without completely reworking the engine, and was so user-friendly to 90s PC nerds that new mods are made for Doom to this day, which is what I was literally asking one about like 2 days ago.
You were? Yeah, because I didn't...
I didn't even know.
If you get Doom on the Switch...
They have a bunch of them on Steam.
Yeah, and a bunch on Steam.
Like a lot.
But like, if you just have a Bethesda account, you get access to like a shit ton on consoles that like you don't even need to have a PC.
How is that even a surprise that they're still modding it too? Because they literally just put it on a fucking pregnancy test. I mean, come on.
That's fucking insane. That shit's insane to me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Composer Bobby Prince was hired to create music for Doom and was directed by Romero to take inspiration from two of his favorite genres, metal and techno.
Dude, this is the story of my life. This is while he's getting bliss in the dark-ass nearby dentist office with no fucking lighting, just like, yeah.
I cannot imagine, like, ugh. Like, just listening to just, like, the...
Oh, and you know they're getting bliss in there, too. They're just like, yeah, fucking just... we can do eight players, right?
That fucking hits. That riff. So riffs were lifted directly from songs by Pantera and Alice in Chains, with some inspiration coming from Slayer as well. James?
Slayer!
Yep, there he goes.
You can tell he was waiting for that.
All right.
James was waiting.
James has been doing this since we were kids.
Very true. You see, kids, Slayer is a very, very prolific thrash metal band that has a lot of satanic influences.
And you see, kids, when the three of us were in high school together, all anyone had to do at one of our friend Ben's parties would say the word Slayer, and then James would pop in.
Slayer!
And you'd say, oh, there's James.
And you would take a shot.
If you're a Slayer fan and you don't do it that way, you're not a Slayer fan. Just saying.
Wow.
Calling out all Slayer fans right there.
What's up, people? What's up?
Catch them in the cage match, dude. Or death match, I'm sorry.
Damn, dude. BFG, big fucking gloat right there.
Oh. Id Software, unfortunately, did miss their Q3 1993 deadline to release the game, but by December of that year, the staff was working nonstop and sleeping in their offices to deliver the promises of their press release months earlier.
I'm doing a lot of cocaine. It wasn't mentioned in the script, but it definitely is
implied. Oh, yeah, for sure. They're like, we've been up for 36 hours!
Lots of Adderall, lots of cocaine.
But after numerous calls from angry fans and publications,
Jesus Christ!
Oh yeah, people are pissed. Okay.
Yeah, so well, this is
there were fans already. The game hadn't even come out yet.
Wolfenstein.
Yeah,
was a huge success, and because they were behind that, they did the whole press release.
People, I forgot we're talking about video game nerds.
There you go.
Not only that, but it shows you how passionate they are because this is before the years of forums where they actually call.
Yeah. Right, they're calling. They're waiting like, where's on the game, bitch?
Where's the id Software local listing?
We talked about this in Resident Evil 1.5 about how angry
crazy?
And crazy the nerds can be. There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. Oh. Just thinking about that. Jesus, that's right. That's so bad.
They're still this way, by the way.
Please listen to our Resident Evil 1.5 episode for more, like, insanity like this.
Oh my god, also, absolutely.
Also, a wild story that is just truly, like...
Yeah, and that
it involves U.S. Marshals.
And lots of cockburns.
Yes, yes. Jesus. So, after the fans called and publications called, the very first episodes of Doom made their way onto shareware on December 10, 1993, and it absolutely blew up the shareware servers. This was going to be a hit.
As you kids say these days, it was lit.
It was a bop.
It was lit. That shit slapped.
Oh, Jesus. I'm so bad with lingo. What was the one
we got you covered.
What was the one thing I was like, please explain this to me?
Dead ass.
They were dead ass serious that Doom was going to be lit. Dead and when it came out, that shit slapped.
That's like that's redundant.
That's saying serious,
saying dead ass and serious in the same sentence.
Yeah, dead ass serious. Redundant. I know, but you just add more oomph to it.
Okay,
I swear I'm hip.
And dead ass, Doom was guaranteed to be a hip.
As your youth correspondent.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Oh,
I'm going to go yeet myself off a bridge.
Oh, the youth correspondent right there. God damn. Mm.
Let's take it to our youth correspondent. Alex,
explain this word.
What does this mean?
She's like, you see oldies.
You see you old bitches.
Oh boy, let's do it. Let's get in. All right, so the FTP server at the University of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, huh?
Hello, Wisconsin. Oh my God. Was the very first place they wanted to upload Doom for the masses. I killed James right now. And the network admins promptly lost their shit as the server pretty much crashed immediately. 30 minutes later, it was actually backed up and a whopping 10,000 people tried to download the first episodes of Doom at the same motherfucking time.
Wow.
Needless to say, more crashes were on the way.
Which is a lot because not that many people owned a computer in the first place in the early 90s.
Yeah, and they're like, whoa, the server's at some fucking university? No, we get access to that, right?
We'll put it this way. Even people with mass technology and server capabilities now crash servers when a Halo demo came out. So there you go.
Yeah. Shit gets...
Let's say in... 98,000 people owned PCs in
1993. Wow, so
10% tried to download one. On day one. No, not on day one. 10% wanted to do it within 30 minutes of release.
Can you look that up, Alex?
Alex, can you pull that up?
Can you pull that up real quick?
Go ahead and pull up the service crash.
How many people owned computers in the 90s? So pull that up, Alex.
Jesus. So within hours, Doom was banned on a number of university networks across the fucking nation as this new deathmatch mode.
Deathmatch.
It was causing some major fucking issues with their computer networks. It was crashing fucking everything, and even with a patch, the sheer amount of traffic was just too overwhelming for anybody trying to use internet at the University of Wisconsin. Other universities, unfortunately.
Wisconsin!
So Doom was being downloaded on so many computers that companies across the world, had to implement workplace policies that restricted employees from accessing the game while working on office hours.
That is fucking hilarious.
So yeah. I have an issue with this because you're telling me this kind of stuff should be promoted because you know how much stress it would relieve everyone at work?
If they were like, all right, everybody, we're going to take our Doom 30-minute break. go.
Yeah.
And then everyone just slays the shit out of stuff for 30 minutes, comes back and you go, okay, hi, how are you?
That's for not fucking CC me in the email.
Reply all, bitch!
Y'all shooting a demon this meeting? Could have been an email!
Listen, could you get me the edit? So I'll get it when I fucking get it over there!
I said no cream in my fucking car!
Who bought Hazelnut?
Hazelnut!
I fucking knew it! See our Thanksgiving episode for that one. This year's Thanksgiving episode.
Which good is reference. One of the best horror films
good
ever
reference.
Made.
Good reference.
Best.
Oh,
best,
boy.
Bro, this is best, bro.
So, publications like Computer and Video Games, PC Gamer, and Computer Gaming World were completely blown away by id Software's latest release, noting that it may be one of the most influential releases ever. Ever. And that the multiplayer aspect was legitimately addicting, like crack. And...
Again, these random...
1993, crack was everywhere.
Like crack.
Like crack.
Crack or doom.
So you're telling me you've never had crack?
Wait, wait.
You're telling me you've never tried crack? Not even once? No, they told me specifically, not even once.
Okay, listeners, we're going to take a quick crack break.
So, playing crack and playing doom. You said playing twice. Fuck you.
Playing crack and doing doom.
Out there in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Oh, God, I have a headache. Oh.
I call this pipe little Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein.
Oh, we just created so many inside jokes within like 40 minutes.
Oh, God. Sorry, Jesus. Guys.
Jesus fucking Christ. Of course.
All you listening at home are just like, what are these fucking weirdos?
What is happening?
Medellos.
Yeah.
That's it.
Either way, when it comes down to it, PC gaming was not as respected at this time. They now had something that not only can compete with arcades and consoles, but kind of surpass them. So that's what happened with one fucking game, thanks to a bunch of drugged out motherfuckers next to a dentist's office playing metal. And boozing.
James.
Slayer!
Yes. So where Wolfenstein 3D made $100,000 in its first month, which is very impressive, and was seen as a monumental, like monumental. People fucking lost it when it made that much money. Doom was making $100,000 a day.
Wow. For back then?
For back then.
Shit.
A day and garnering millions of downloads on shareware. So, we said 4,000 last time. Yeah. So, needless to say, PC gaming had never seen anything like this, and by 1995, Doom was downloaded on more computers than Microsoft's newest operating system, Windows 1995.
Holy shit.
Would y'all like the inflation difference from 1993 to...
Can you pull that up, Alex?
Thank you very much, Alex. She's really good at this stuff, you know?
I'm really just, like, feeling it. It, I mean, it's not actually as bad as like dramatic as I thought it would be. It's $180,000.
Still, yes. Almost doubling the rate right there. Yeah. Look at that.
Goddamn economy, mm-hmm. dude.
You know what I could do with $180,000?
A day?
I could direct a lot of porns.
No story.
No story. Just all action and.
You know, there's a term for that. It's porn. It's plot. What plot? Like.
Jesus. So. It was estimated by some analysis and blah blah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, I'm coming back. It was estimated by some analyst at the time that Doom was played by 10 to 20 million different players within the first 24 months of release. Because of this huge success, the game was ported to a number of other systems, including unofficial ports, as even people on Linux wanted to kill the fuck out of some demons.
Yep.
What was the population in 1995?
Can you pull that up, Alex?
Can you pull that up, Alex?
I'm going to do 1994 because it's been a couple months.
1994, how about that? Mm-hmm.
And you see kids Linux. Okay, so yeah, that's just another low grade freaking knockoff Windows.
263 million.
Wow.
Ooh boy. So a good portion of the population actually.
A percentage for sure.
I don't want to do the math on that one, but yeah, a lot of people play Doom.
A lot of people play Doom.
Hold on, what was it? 263 million? Is that what I said? One, two, three.
Give us 20 million.
20 million.
Alright. 1, 2, 3.
Hold on, listeners, we're mathing right now.
13%.
Damn.
13% of people on Earth played Doom.
In 2 years.
That's Fuck. Insane.
Okay, well, that really blew my tits off right now.
Gone.
His titties are now floating in the vacuum of space, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh boy. So, speaking of demons, this was the 90s after all, and satanic imagery was a big no-no in the more conservative circles of the country. And with Christian outrage comes a huge helping of good old American controversy. So,
I'm so glad I get this section, yeah. And it just ties well into that. Why I was never allowed to play this game. We'll talk about that in the discussion. But yeah, here we go. Pretty much right away, religious folks fucking hated Doom for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Sure, the satanic imagery didn't help much. But as its popularity grew, it garnered a lot of heat. And it was even labeled a mass murder simulator at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's demons just walking around all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kill them all.
Those aren't the bad guys.
Why was Doom considered a mass murder simulator? Well, unfortunately, that was thanks to a pair of asshole school students. Asshole school shooters and school shooters.
Start it over.
Thanks to a pair of asshole school shooters in Columbine, Colorado.
You know what? I didn't expect them to be in this, but they fucking came back. I know.
Don't they kind of always in that era, though?
Truly anything, like, anything horror-related in the 90s, they're like, and it was inspired by Columbine.
Fuck you! Music, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything fun.
Mm-hmm.
For a more comprehensive look at what happened in Columbine, check out the Horrible People's Podcast episode on Gender Snaps and the recently released Scream 3 as we go into further detail. But just know that this horrendous act of mass murder didn't just create hell for the movie industry. Video games are also very much a part of the conversation.
I thought you were pulling that out of your brain, and I was like, wow, you have a very good memory.
Wow, look at that plug, Quinn. Message.
I didn't even remember talking about Columbine and Ginger Snap.
You wrote it.
Just so you know, I've just been named the PR person for the Horrible People Podcast.
For all of your requests, please contact me.
Please contact me at James at Horrible People's Podcast. Okay. Dylan Dipshit Eric Fuckface. Perfect names. Or whatever their names really were. Happened to enjoy video games like a lot of people who owned PCs at the time. But one thing they really enjoyed was Doom. Of course.
I like how 10% of the world's population played Doom and they're like, but they also played Doom.
Yeah, exactly. Just these two fuck faces. One prominent rumor at the time was that the duo practiced for the big day by creating a level with a similar layout to their high school. But this was quickly proven false.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Doom was heavily referenced in Eric's diaries, which stated that the massacre would be like playing Doom, and it'll be like the LA riots, the Oklahoma bombing, World War II, Vietnam, Duke Nukem, and Doom all mixed together. That's him quoting that, by the way. And claiming his shotgun was, quote, straight out of the game, end quote.
I guess.
Fuck these guys.
I mean, you know.
Sure.
Last podcast on the left, on their Columbine series, had, like, they quoted some really interesting statistics about school shootings, about how, I don't want to totally, like, misinterpret the statistics here, but it was, like, out of school shooters, only, like, a percentage of them watched violent movies, video games, music, et cetera, et cetera, and only a portion of that played violent video games. Like, right. It was, like, very, very minimal, so... Fuck these guys.
And ever since then, that theory has been proven wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong.
And time and time and time again. Like, most people just get, like, a most, like, freaking horror films are more statistically shown to help with anxiety than anything.
Yeah.
Like, it helps with my anxiety.
Same thing with metal music. Who would have figured?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Slayer!
Yeah, but they also listen to, like, yeah, it, you know. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, noted dipshit attorney Jack Thompson used this outrage to elevate his career and would rally against the game, filing a suit on behalf of three Kentucky families whose daughters were shooting victims as well. In this case, a 14-year-old claimed he learned how to shoot from the game Doom and used that knowledge to murder a group of peers during a Bible study. The teen also claimed the film The Basketball Diaries was an inspiration, but this wasn't as widely covered. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a random tidbit.
It's so... well. Some context here. Jack Thompson made his fame as an attorney by pretty much any game that came out was, this is the devil.
And Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
He went to town on Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yeah, everything. Everything that, all these...
all the fun games.
He's, exactly. He is what we call an opportunist.
See, kids. Okay. conservative activists Reed Irvin and Cliff Kanaid threw a ton of their other accusations regarding the murders in a popular media Moderate article in the 90s, saying, quote, "We continue to receive reports that the Colorado killers may have been homosexual or bisexual. Oh, no. The media have been reluctant to probe this possible aspect of the killings. But there seems to be no question that they had an anti-Christian orientation, just like Michael Carneal in the Kentucky case," end quote.
Oh, yeah.
Cliff Kincaid, by the way.
Cliff Kincaid.
Fuck. Whatever.
Cliff Kincaid. It wasn't your fault. It was his.
Commander. Fuck. Commander Kane, dude. Mm-hmm. No?
Thanks, bud. Thanks for making me look like a jackass.
Want to get some Red Lobster?
Jackass. Despite the campaign on media like Fox News against Doom, a Leonardo DiCaprio movie from the 90s and the gays, conservatives were unable to keep either of these things down. And Jack Thompson would eventually be disbarred in 2008 for making false statements.
That's right.
It took him over fucking a decade to get this guy out of here.
Right? Like, Leonardo DiCaprio would eventually win an Oscar. Gay marriage was allowed within a decade. And as you'll find out right now, Doom developed quite a legacy for itself.
There you go.
Obviously, because we wouldn't be talking about it. So guess what, man? The gays won.
Over that this guy put the gays.
In the article, the gays was referenced.
GM, like it's trademark.
Yeah.
The gays.
The gays. Oh, yeah. You gotta get a shirt that says the gays in the TM mark.
That's honestly all I want. As the resident bisexual, that's all I want.
Hey, but you know what? Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio, the gays, and Doom did okay. Are they okay?
Are you talking about the What's Eating Gilbert Grape movie, or what Leo movie was it?
What, that won the Oscar?
Which one?
Yeah, I was going to say. Like,
was it Django for supporting role?
Oh, I thought we were talking in the 90s.
Yeah. No, I said within a decade.
No.
Which one were we talking about from the 90s?
From the 90s was...
Was Leo in?
The Basketball Diaries.
Oh, that was
it? Yeah, that was it. That was the one that was... what do you call? He plays a shooter.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The collective, like...
Yeah. The Basketball Diaries. Yeah, pissed off a lot of conservatives.
The more you know.
All right, Alex, you want to do it? You want to do the next
one? It's
part?
All you,
you
dude.
You want me to do? Okay.
How about you trade off?
Oh, trade off. I'll do the I'm first. Down.
Sure. All you right. Kick it off.
Okay. Doom used its horror aesthetic, innovative gameplay, and Christian outrage to propel itself to such monumental success that sequels were bound to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Doom 2 released less than a year after the first game to huge success as well, adding new weapons like the Super Shotgun and... Oh, I'm sorry. You wanted to switch off like everyone?
Yeah.
My bad. I thought I said I'll do the first four and then you'll do the... Oh, my bad, Alex.
You said that in your head. And nobody heard that out loud. Well, nobody heard that out loud.
Shit.
You just kept going. You're like,
No, I saw James looking at me at the corner of my eye. I was like, did I fuck up?
And you're like, yeah, I'll share. Hey, by the way, fuck you.
This is the Deathmatch podcast right now, right?
Alex versus Alex. Go.
Apparently, gays didn't win. Sorry.
No, we can switch
homophobia
off.
Homophobia is real.
Dude, it's rampant, people.
We can switch off then. That's easier.
Not my doom.
Oh, my God.
Go for it. Go for it, Webster. You got this.
Doom 2 released less than a year after the first game to huge success as well, adding new weapons like the Shooper.
Shooper from Wolfenstein.
We give you one chance.
This is the Shooper Shotgun from Wolfenstein.
The Shoop Shoop Shoop.
Shoop Shoop Shoop.
Shoop 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 Shoop. Shooper Shotgun.
Wow.
The Super Shotgun and a ton of new enemies that would stick with the franchise to this day. It also sold through its entire stock in less than a month. It was supposed to last 3.
Yeah. Not super.
Super.
Doom was such a dominant force in gaming that up until around GoldenEye 64, any first-person shooter was simply referred to as a Doom clone.
I love this. is only because it's just like, oh, it's just a copycat. No one else. And now it's just like, it created a whole, like, genre.
Who could ever replicate this, really?
Basically.
And they did. And now it's just a whole genre.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so different studios would work on games like Final Doom and Doom 64, but as the years went on, the first-person shooter had evolved past the template of this foundational shooter game.
Mm-hmm.
Still, dynamic level design, online multiplayer, insane weapon diversity, and fast-paced combat were musts if you wanted to compete with the best shooters in the market, and that's all thanks to a crew of metal-loving programmers who played a lot of D&D.
That's fucking right.
Thank you, D&D.
Thanks, D&D.
And thank you. Who was it, James?
What? Slayer! I didn't know that was my cue. I'm sorry.
I was like,
what did it? What am
you're
doing?
Just using him at this point.
I get used a lot.
Go ahead and bring up that Slayer, James.
Slayer!
God, you're just like a button.
a quick aside. Somebody reviewed a metal show that they went to for the first time, and they're like, I never knew that people actually yelled Slayer as much as they do at metal shows. And I was like, yeah, you pretty much have to.
Yeah.
Anytime you see somebody in a Slayer shirt, anytime you hear it, you then have to yell it from across.
Slayer!
Yeah. That's how us metalheads talk to each other.
That's how you communicate.
That's our love language.
I love that. I love how we're covering this because we wouldn't have any opportunity.
I mean, I'm sure you can have a couple.
Maybe. Wait, who's next?
Me. Doom predates games like Resident Evil when it comes to bringing horror elements to mainstream gaming. Another example of how the genre is way more innovative than people give it credit for.
Yep.
That's how it goes.
Mic
Fuck
drop.
You, Jack Thompson.
I'm going to let that mic cool down after that. The prevalence of the modding scene on PC can also be credited to Doom, which made it easier for users to tweak the game to their liking and even make new content.
That's goddamn right.
Woo! Not unlike, you know, The Sims, which also...
That's Alex's Doom, by the way.
You know, speaking of porn, let's talk about Sims.
Hey, Wicked Whims is wild, okay?
Wow.
I was kidding.
Bringing that PC cred over there, dude.
It is very real, and it is crazy.
Oh, wow.
Eventually, Doom did have to catch up to the rest of the industry as graphically impressive genre-driven games became the norm, with the likes of Halo and Counter-Strike taking the crown from the Demon Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
To address this, the genre would go full horror in Doom 3 before... Full ball? Oh, Jesus. Why are you
balls
just...
to the wall.
Damn. You know dude, I'm all into it talking about games and this guy's like, balls.
Dude, I thought you were just going to say going full balls. I'm like, wait, it's going balls to the wall.
There's another part of the sentence.
I think you took that from me because I've been saying balls to the wall lately.
Oh, we're about to go full balls. All right.
Do it again. Do it again.
Just straight up.
All right. So to address this, the genre would go full horror in Doom 3. Before going full balls to the wall action in 2016's Doom reboot. Hell, there's even a couple movies that happened within that time.
Anthony wrote that line, Alex had to say it, that's why he was laughing. Yep. And keeping it in as a
terrible movies, by the way, but they were still made.
Let's just say those movies didn't go balls to the wall.
No, they didn't. Nobody's tits got blown off by those movies.
Nah. Wonder Woman starts a video like Jesus.
Yeah, I saw the one with The Rock. Dude.
Yeah, that one's awful.
There was about 5 minutes of that was good, and the rest. When
he actually goes in first person mode, which
that
is
was cool.
Completely awesome. Other than that, the whole movie sucks.
Oh my gosh! So basically, it sounds like there's a lot more to this Doom story than we can ever cover in one podcast.
Very true.
So we're gonna bookmark this for now and talk about the granddaddy of the first person shooter genre and one of the first horror video games ever made.
Let's fucking do it.
Let's talk about it.
Let's go full balls to the
wall.
Let's go balls to the wall.
So yeah, I actually want to talk about how I played this game. I had an older cousin that had it on floppy disk. I wanted to play it. I wasn't allowed to play it. My mom was very Christian and very anti anything that wasn't Christian. So I grew up as a rock and metal lover of music, of the music.
Real quick, before you get up until that point, we had the same fucking story.
Right.
My cousin was the fucking one that had the disc.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to play her, dude. He's killing demons. Right. And I'm just like,
I want to play.
So she was so Christian and so religiously crazy. She would censor my music, take away my CDs, take away my band shirts, the whole nine. So naturally, when I was like, hey, I want to play this game called Doom, she found out about it and was like, it's about demons. I was like, yes. So. And I never got to play it. However, here comes the older cousin who had it on floppy disk. I got to play Wolfenstein, yes. And I got to play Doom at the same time, and it was fucking incredible, and it changed my life forever.
Yep. No, same here. I saw my cousin play it. My grandma actually saw my cousin play it and was like, this is the devil. Like, El Diablo. And her, like, very Mexican accent, just like, no, mijo. Yep. Like, you, mm-mm. And then my mom was, like, you know, talking to her in Spanish and shit, and I don't understand Spanish. My mom was just like, no, you can't, da da da. But, you know, that Tia would watch us sometimes.
Yeah.
And the cousin obviously was there. And so we would sometimes play Doom in, like, 1994. Yeah. And it was the shit.
Yep.
It was the shit.
So
capital T, capital S, the shit.
Mm-hmm. Tapital S.
Tapital. So
fuck all of you.
Not to sound like a broken record, but my cousin also.
It's always the older cousin. Yeah, hey, shout out to the older cousins of the world.
What are you, like, 3 years older than me? Holy shit, you're so cool.
Yeah, that's basically what it was.
Yeah, yeah, so. Mm-hmm. My older cousin, same thing, except mine had Doom, and it had Duke Nukem 3D.
You bitch.
So I got to see the strippers and the demons, dude. So
I don't know what year Doom 64 came out, but I remember I bought it, and then it was very unceremoniously taken right back to the store, and I could not play. I bought it with, you know, my kid money. My allowance, and then she took me right back to the store, and I exchanged it for NFL Blitz, which is a great game in itself.
NFL Blitz is awesome.
I mean, let's go from shooting to drop kicking people on the field.
Exactly, that's safe. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's before concussions too. So it was like, no, everybody's safe with pads.
Exactly.
Oh. I was the older cousin, so.
Oh, look at you! You're like, you know these Sims mods.
Yeah, fuck you.
Oh my god, they're in a bathing suit!
No, I didn't start modding The Sims until I was older.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that we're back, what are your thoughts on the actual Doom game itself, though? Because I don't know, I've beaten it, so yeah, that shit's addicting to me.
Here's what's funny about it. The Christian conservatives were up in arms about the game, but you're literally killing demons and saving Earth from being overtaken
you're doing them
by hell. Yep. You're doing what Christians have been trying to do.
And,
hello?
They like the Second Amendment.
Yeah. They're
you're using so many different guns.
You're literally killing demons. You're doing what Jesus did.
You're doing what Jesus would have wanted.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This one was for you, Jesus. Bam!
For Jesus!
You do like a little hymn before, like, hum da da. Before any room you enter, just pop, pop, pop.
Yeah,
you.
Without Doom, we wouldn't have GoldenEye, we wouldn't have Counter-Strike, we wouldn't have all of the amazing first-person shooters that I love playing to this day. So, for Wolfenstein and Doom to do that for me, I love you guys.
No, seriously. I personally, on a gameplay front, I think Doom is timeless. It's like, there's no way. Like, it's sprite-based, and sprite-based is cool now, but even when sprite-based wasn't cool, if you played Doom in your hands, Doom was the shit.
Yeah.
It was fucking good.
I played it tons of times. I just re-downloaded it again just so I could play it again.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be like, hey, I'm fucking playing Doom again. This is awesome. Even though I own the 2016 and Doom Eternal sequel versions, which are obviously vastly better.
I mean, yeah, they're next gen.
Exactly. Like, but I still went back to the 1993 version, and it's still fucking awesome.
Dude, I beat the 1993 version in quarantine. Because on the eShop, the shit was on sale for $1.25.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, cool, I'll buy it for $1.25. And then I fucking played it, and I'm like, I can't stop playing this shit because this is just fun. Like, the simplification, even down to, like, different card colors, I'm like, okay, cool. It's almost red card time. So I gotta get over and get that going.
Me and Alex were just talking about playing it, replaying it for the first time in years, and knowing that there's secrets that you can uncover in every single map.
Every level.
And so I'm playing on my laptop, you know, like you normally would do on PC. So you're literally, we were just talking about trying to find all the secrets again, just remembering from being when you were a kid and you played it. So you're literally running up to every wall and hitting the action button. And that's literally what you do to find the secrets in the game. And if you've never done that, you need to do that. Because that's what you do when you play Doom. Mm-hmm. You clear the room, you kill every demon you can, and then...
Just go around and spam the action button to find where
to try to find the secrets. Oh, that was Doom.
It's glorious.
And it's pretty great.
But and like, you know what? You're going to get blindsided too, but as soon as you open that door, there's like 10
weapons. Yeah,
like
yeah, exactly. And then that's how you find all the other weapons. If you've just done the linear side of it and never found secrets, then you would have never found the shotgun, the chainsaw, the minigun, the BFG, and all the other array of guns that were in the original that still exist to this day.
Jesus.
And like, to speak to like...
That.
Yeah, that. To speak to, you know, like how what Doom is, like you said, it's been literally ported to every single console, freaking calculators, phones.
The pregnancy test.
Like
somebody also ported it to their TV on their...
refrigerator.
Their refrigerator. Yeah, so they were playing it on their refrigerator.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Using the ice machine buttons.
Yeah, it's like you can play the game.
Like, that shows what kind of game, like, the impact that this game has had. Is that
they
like,
got way too much time on their hands. A pregnancy test?
I mean, well, why not, though?
Nope.
I can think of a lot of reasons.
It's also one of those things, though, like...
You're dead. Shit. Wait, what?
A lot of...
That's my pregnancy test.
I think what's something that can't be understated here is that Doom and a lot of games from id Software are designed in a way that they can be ported down very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like Doom 2016, which is the balls to the wall version, that like the reboot, revamp, whatever.
Yep.
That you can play that shit on the Switch. The Switch can't handle shit. Yep. And you can play the full game on that.
Yeah.
Like down like it's off, they know how to make the they optimize the fuck out of this thing.
I'm looking at the 1993 versus 2016 version, like visually.
Mm. Oh yeah.
And it's just like, we've come so far.
We've come so far.
But the funny thing is, it's essentially the same thing,
though. It's the same game, just like the graphics are just like,
the
wow.
The funny thing is, like, they've kept that tradition of not fully that storyline doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because the 2016 version, there's a storyline and it's good, but really... When I'm having a stressful day, I go home and put that game on and just wreck everything, and it makes me feel way better.
It's power fantasy.
Stress relief.
It's exactly. Exactly. It's a fucking power fantasy. And
yeah.
And the thing is, like...
Shoot some tits off.
Shoot some tits off, I mean, dude.
Chainsawing a demon in half with just heavy metal music dropping in the background, dude. That's all you need
all you
after
need.
A long day. Exactly.
Yep.
That is literally all you need.
It's so high. Like, it's literally, like, I mean...
It sounds like a lot of fun. Like, I'm tempted to actually play
You
that.
Should.
Get a pregnancy
so
test and do it.
Okay.
Not the version I thought you were going to say, but okay.
It's the crack...
God damn it, Anthony.
It's the crack form of video game is what that
is.
Dude.
It is.
They really... Just channel that crackness into the game.
It's a crack form.
It is.
You just, if you walk away, like, just fucking grin your teeth or something after playing that game, like, you played it right.
What it is, it's catharsis.
Yeah.
It's like, literally, if you want to feel relieved
yeah.
and just like, I'm putting the effort in and there's payoff.
Yeah.
Doom will satisfy that 100%. And all the enemies look like motherfuckers. They don't look like people that you are figures you want to
if
be
you,
alive.
If you dropped into a world and there was a shotgun laying on the ground and then you saw what came at you from Doom, you're going to shoot the shit out of it.
Yes. Yes. No questions asked.
You're not going to sit there and be like, oh, I should ask what it means.
Excuse me, sir. Do you know
what
Fletch Street is?
As?
Yeah.
Are you a he or a she? Okay, you're just a demon? Sweet.
Oh,
right.
you're shooting stuff. Oh, shit.
What mighty big fangs you had.
Yeah, everything in that world you're going to shoot and not ask questions at all.
No, yeah. And this goes back to 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I want to fuck around, I can do either 1993 or 2016 or 2019's Doom Eternal.
Yep.
You can just go in any fucking game.
Any one of them in their lineup. I mean, Doom 64 was so awesome. All of them. You can just go back and play all of them
shit.
And they're just so fun.
So, fun fact, dude, Doom Eternal actually dropped last year in the middle of quarantine.
Oh, it was 2020. It was 2020, yeah.
In March 2020,
mm-hmm.
I had a scheduled family camping trip, or cabin trip that weekend, right? We go to a cabin, and I'm like, you know what? There's a new Doom game dropping. I'm really stressed out from work. I'm just going to smuggle my freaking Xbox up there. Mm. I downloaded it at the cabin when the kids were sleeping and my brother and sister, you know, they were all, everyone was gone.
Everybody's getting turnt.
I went in the freaking room, downloaded it on the fucking mountain Wi-Fi. I don't give a shit. I downloaded it. As soon as the kids were down asleep, fucking making s'mores or something, I played it and I'm like, fuck, I shouldn't have did that. Because now I wanted to just stay in the cabin and instead of joining nature, just, you know, play Doom Eternal, but like, that's how dedicated.
Who's gonna BB Gun World of Squirrels at?
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're gonna be like eyeballing like a deer or something. Yep. Just like, stay there, motherfucker.
You better hope a shotgun doesn't fall from the sky, motherfucker.
Doom Eternal. Also Gabe
just tosses
cool.
a gun at you.
Doom Eternal took what was amazing about Doom 2016
turned it up to like
elevated.
Yeah,
that shit,
and it's an incredible sequel. The newest games are amazing. They follow that same formula, just fucking kill everything in sight.
Cool. I mean, it says something that when they decided to simplify the game and simplify its elements, that's the foundation that stuck.
Yeah.
Like, Doom 2016, all the rest of the Dooms afterwards, they kept into that, like, no, you kill everything. Mm-hmm. You get the little thing you fucking need or the press the buttons you need to go, and you kill the next round of things.
Yeah.
Until a new setting is in front of you.
Well, and they literally still just have the same fucking key cards. That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's
yeah.
the only
fucking... Yeah, except for now they're skulls. And yeah.
Some of them are skulls, and then some of them... To get the key cards now, you actually have to rip someone's arm off.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, so considering that we're talking about, like, just the fundamentals of Doom here, one of the biggest fundamentals is horror. So how do these horror elements add to Doom? And would it be as successful without them, do you think?
Well, I mean, you have to look at it with Wolfenstein. I know that was, you know, kill Nazis and stuff, so... Mm-hmm. But that wasn't exactly horror.
No.
But that was still very successful.
Mm-hmm.
But
this is the same degree, not even close.
Right, exactly. But no, I think because of the whole satanic thing and the fact that it was...
During the satanic panic?
Yeah, it was a big no-no. I don't think it would have been as successful if they didn't do that. If they were like, Captain Keen, the shooter, I don't think it would have been that good.
I mean, like, the gameplay's there, but like James said, I mean, the gameplay is one thing, but if you're shooting demons or things you've never seen before, right. Like, even in 1993, a little sprites, right? When I was replaying the one on the Switch, like, literally, I mean, you can tell it looks like a fucking pig.
Yeah.
But it's like a fucking demon pig with big old freaking, you know, fangs and stuff, and it's like... If that was just, like James said, like a normal fucking dog or a Nazi dog or like something, I don't think it would still stick that way because that's something people haven't seen in 1993.
That's
like,
true. There's a lot of creativity in the art. Yeah. There's a lot, actually. So
Even then, like Alex just said, you can see the demon-ness and, you know, the artwork, even though it was all pixelated.
Oh, well, that's the best graphics you got at the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was the best graphics you got at the time. That shit looked like Doom Eternal looks like now.
Yeah.
To audiences back then.
Yeah.
Because that when you kill things, blood splatters.
Yeah.
Like, and there are bosses and big characters.
And you when you shoot them, you can hear gurgling, too.
I just can't imagine, like, people saw that and were just like, it's too violent. It's too graphic.
Right.
It's too visually, like...
Yeah, it's literally, like, pixelated to the point where you're just like, that's kind of a demon-looking thing. Ah!
Like, someone saw that and was just like, that's really, like, just too graphic for my child.
Dog, what if you saw that thing walking down the street? You're like, I would have fucking shot it. What do you mean?
Meanwhile, people are bitching about this, and at the most, 10% of the entire world's population is playing this fucking game.
Right?
Yeah.
Playing this fucking game. Anybody who has access to computers can do it, and yeah.
Was this 93? Was that before Mortal Kombat? Mortal Kombat was 91.
It's around this time, I think. Yeah.
So...
Alex, can you pull that up?
Yeah, Alex, can you pull that up? But basically, like, Mortal Kombat's different in that, you're fighting someone and you're ripping their skulls out, but, like, I think this game was the first time that people were, like, shooting, like, demons. Like, you know, like, it looks like a freaking lump of just freaking bleh.
Well, I mean, you were... It was first person, so you were literally the one holding the gun and doing the damage.
1992.
1992, so it came out right before.
Oh, yeah, right before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a very good point, though. It's your perspective.
Exactly.
So when you say hand on the screen, that's supposed to be your hand shooting whatever the fuck is in front of you.
Yeah, because when you play Mortal Kombat, you're controlling the character, but that's essentially not you.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas you're playing Doom, you're literally the Doom guy or the Doom Marine, and you're holding the gun and... laying waste to all these demons. So
mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's a different different perspective because I grew up with first-person shooters, right? Like, this is, like, I didn't get to see it be introduced and kind of integrate itself into, like, Americana, right?
Yeah.
Like,
which is totally... Yeah, exactly. It is patriotic as fuck, though, at this point.
Well, yeah.
Those days when this, like, happened, everybody was, like, losing their shit. I remember losing mine. I was like, I've never seen this. Oh, my God. It was amazing.
And then by the time, like, you know, I started playing video games, like, everyone...
It's default.
It's default. Exactly. It's kind of, like, to be expected, like, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting to kind of learn a little bit about its beginnings.
Well, yeah. I mean, from this whole podcast, I think we learned that you piss off conservatives and you do it well. You know what?
You're part of history.
You're part of fucking history right there. Yep. Oh, boy.
I just still cannot believe that this is what pissed them off. Like, I'm just like, that is, like, pixelated as shit.
That was the best, though.
I get it. But it was 1993. I wasn't born yet. Like, I get it. But, like... Really?
I mean, all we could really play at the time was freaking a plumber running, you know, sideways and jumping down.
All we had was 2D platformers, that's it.
Or a hedgehog running a little faster.
Or you could be in the frontier and dying of dysentery, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Sometimes the hedgehog and the plumber ended up at the same spot when the pizza was getting delivered. And
Wow.
Full circle.
Whoa. Let us not ruin everybody's childhood.
You know, that rule fucking 34.
You
know,
rule
34, that's
Mario,
somewhere.
Mario jumped in a pipe, Sonic lost some rings. I'm going to stop right there.
I can't even think. Can't even go further from that. Wow. Jesus. But clearly from what we're talking about here, Doom has obviously been massively influential. And we've had our experience with it. But what are some of your favorite first-person games or shooting games or whatever? Do you notice any Doom influence from these particular games when you're playing them?
Well, probably my all-time favorite, which we've all played for a long time together, is Counter-Strike.
Yes.
Counter-Strike is like the epitome of first-person shooters for me. That kind of started the whole Call of Duty popularity and all that jazz. Obviously, it's not, you know, satanic in nature or whatever, but the level design is definitely Doom. Mm-hmm. Every single map, there's
it's an arena levels. Design.
Yeah, it's an arena design, exactly. And so that's the whole premise of what Doom created. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense.
I mean, for me, it would be probably Halo.
I was thinking Halo.
But, you know, in Halo 2, if you think about it, when you start Halo 1, you're, like, in corridors, and they're not demons, but they're aliens.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I distinctly remember the way the Master Chief held his pistol was almost dead center like the Doom games, like, right?
Yeah.
It's just a little off-center, but still, it's, like, the point, I mean, the part where you get off of the ship and go to the big open world of the Halo, it's like, oh, shit, like, you know, I thought it was going to be another Doom slash game where it was like, that was the first thing that
came
to my
mind. That's
a
good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, oh, we're going to be in corridors and all shit. And then boom.
Different dimensions. So,
that's how Halo established itself. It's like, hey, we're doing the Doom thing. By the way, here's a whole nother fucking thing. Yes.
Yeah.
You use those rules and you compound upon them. That's what we've learned, obviously, doing this show for so long. That's how you be successful. You absolutely.
Yeah. One of my first person shooter like memories is watching my dad play Halo. So I can definitely get that. Yeah. I also was thinking a little bit about, like, I was thinking back about our episode, like Bioshock when it comes to first person.
Nope.
Like,
Bioshock is very
I think Bioshock is a good example because that was a horror.
Yeah, it's horror.
That was horror inspired.
And then it's also very, like, you go from one room to the next room. I mean, it's definitely a lot more plot heavy.
Mm-hmm,
right. But, I mean, it's going, like, clearing room and room and room. And then you have to go around and, like, find all the shit. Like, you know?
I would say the Big Daddy is just as scary as anything you find in Doom.
Right?
And it's as brutal because you're literally getting drilled and, you know,
and then,
torn apart.
And just keeping just a bunch of weapons on you at all times.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh. And then, like James said, too, like, the multiplayer aspect, like any multiplayer game now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Counter-Strike, Halo, like, all the classic ones, they have that arena design where it's literally you're in a spot, you know, like a big asymmetrical or symmetrical type of layout, and that's where you're fighting your friends, and, like, that started with Doom.
Yep.
Like, everything. Yes.
You learn the map, you learn the corners, you learn the turns.
You learn which guns you like.
also, there's a lot of first-person shooters that you have to find the guns on the map, so you learn that map, and that's what you had to do in Doom.
Well,
so that's all pulled from Doom.
That brings me to my choice where I saw a lot of influence from this, where I didn't even realize I was seeing it. It was GoldenEye.
Yeah.
GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. were these Nintendo 64 games. Yeah. That they weren't PC games, so you couldn't mod it, you couldn't do any of these things. You didn't have these modes. They had enough modes, though. And they had enough of the fundamentals of where you got to find your weapon. Your level design is almost maze-like sometimes, but there is an end goal. And, like, all these things, but with the innovations of we're going to do polygonal graphics, we're going to let you look up and down, and we're going to do a sniper rifle, we're going to do all these things. The fundamentals, the DNA was there. And GoldenEye itself, 007, N64 game, whatever it was, it brought the Doom experience to console players without the controversy of demons and things like that.
Yeah.
So people learned these rules in a much more accessible way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, the reason why it was even able to do that because of what Doom established prior to it.
So, you know, you know what's funny too is that we didn't even mention it any time during here is that for a first-person shooter, the only way you can aim in Doom is left and right.
Yeah,
left and horizontal.
Right. Yeah.
You can't aim up and down in Doom, the original Doom.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, like, just that just blows my mind even more. That, like, this game that you can only look left and right, and you're able to just, you know, make a genre out of it. And
Yeah. At GoldenEye, you were able to do that unless you pressed R.
Yeah.
And then you'd be able to tilt. You had to stand still and look around. Just
But still, I mean, imagine how mind-blowing that was at the time, right?
Like, oh, I didn't use it, dude. I was just like, I don't need to look up. I'm fine. I'll just do this.
I don't need this.
I'll just do this left and right. I'm fine. Yeah. Oh, this is good. Okay, this is for gamer boys here. So, Doom. Doom very notoriously has a lack of story compared to most games, but does have fairly extensive lore, and of course has the art design to back that up. So how effective is this method in regard to world building, and, you know, what games have taken lessons from this?
Oh, I mean, I talked about this earlier, and in that Doom is successful because you don't necessarily need a lot of story.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a shoot 'em up, you know, it's kill everything in sight, and it's a stress reliever.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there's not a lot of first-person shooters that are like that now. Counter-Strike was definitely one of those.
You didn't
where
need
it was
that,
literally just a competitive first-person shooter. There was no story to it.
Mm-hmm.
There was counter-terrorists, and there were terrorists, and you had an objective to plant a bomb, and that was it.
Sometimes keeping it simple is awesome.
And that game is still very highly successful, and that's what we grew up playing, so yeah.
So, yeah, the lack of story, I mean, you know, 1993, what game had story outside of RPGs, I guess?
Final Fantasy? RPGs, Elder Scrolls shit.
Yeah, I was like, fucking even Final Fantasy's, like, story in the beginning was nothing. Like, just go there, go here.
Even
Chosen One!
even think of Mario, the only thing that we knew was, like, the princess is with Bowser and you have to go save her.
Yeah, but yeah, nowadays I don't think you can really get away with that, you know. I can't think of any games off the top of my head where I'm just like, story's whatever, but, you know, I just want to keep going. Because even like James said, the 2016 Doom, there's a story there, and it's like the world building and stuff, right?
Yeah.
In this aspect, in this newer iteration of it, they have it to where they don't just shove cutscenes in your face. They leave it up to you. So if you want to read about what happened, find the fucking audio logs or like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and Doom Eternal, it's actually good to read it because it tells you how to beat the demons. Like, it gives you background, like, oh, their weak point is this, their point. So, like, they kind of, like, evolved from their 93 iteration of putting it into the game. But, I mean, you know, like, there's no shooter nowadays where it's just like, oh, you can just go shoot everything up outside of multiplayer games, you know, like, of course, Fork Knife or whatever, but...
Fork Knife.
Yeah. I mean, there's no story there, even though I try to just shove it in there.
I mean, I would say the lessons of, like, world building, you can probably directly see them in games like Dark Souls, which don't give you a story, but they're going to give you an aesthetic that is creepy and terrifying.
Yeah.
And they're going to make you work for your kills and for your end of the level kind of end game thing.
Yeah.
But it's still such a concise universe that you already get it when you're playing it. Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Watch out for the demons and the bosses and all this shit. But, like, you know, as you progress, the world kind of unfolds.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I think that gets a little overlooked with Doom. Is that you don't always need all of... Like, Metroid Prime is another big one, too. Where they're like, yeah, okay, you can... Again, read audio logs and do this thing. You'll get it, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, really, you're going to get your fear and your progression from the game itself.
Right.
Which is...
good game design right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything, Alex? No?
What could I possibly add?
What story is there in The Sims? Is there...
Oh. Wow.
You know I've played other video games, right? Like, I'm not totally useless. Go fuck yourself, baby.
It's rude, man.
That was real. She's going to start playing good now. She's going to be fucking Anthony.
She's going to mod his face on all the demons.
Oh, I'm going to skip and just go to this one. Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit. I would like to expand on it. So how do you feel about the Christian conservative backlash on Doom in the 90s, particularly Columbine shit? Because we talked a little bit about how Columbine affected media, but I haven't heard your guys' perspectives on that. And you grew up in the era, obviously. Yeah. So.
I mean, that it was everywhere. You couldn't escape it. Like I talked about before, my mom would censor my music and take away my band t-shirts and all that. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't escape it. It was just a part of life. And you were either able to see it for that and rise above it, or you got stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's completely ridiculous for anybody to blame anything on violent video games or rap music or any of the like. I think it's irresponsible. It's art. It's what people... They choose that as their outlet for life, and they live through that, and it just helps them. It doesn't, you know, bring them down to a level where they're going to go and shoot somebody or hurt somebody.
Yeah.
You know, yes, those fucking Columbine fuck faces blame Doom or mention Doom, but they're two out of the millions of people that live in the U.S.
And the millions.
That would never do that to somebody. Would never hurt anybody and then blame it. Use such a stupid fucking excuse as that. So
yeah, and the thing is, like, art is not always you know, this happy little fucking thing that everybody like, yeah, oh my god, like, everybody, isn't it so wholesome? No, that's not what fucking art is.
Yep.
Like, you have to comment on things that make people uncomfortable sometimes,
right?
Or it can sometimes just come from like a really uncomfortable place, like from the artist, you know.
Yeah, and exactly,
sometimes that manifests in a variety of ways.
Well, I mean, look at them in their fucking next to the dentist office, complete darkness, binging on fucking booze.
That's exactly
snacks.
What I was gonna tell you. If you break it down to the very fundamentals, it's like maybe they designed Doom as their fear of the fucking dentist office, because that's where they made it.
Exactly.
And they're like, goddamn demons and dentists and fucking all that shit. Yeah. You know,
art is personal, and they brought their personal experience and that hazardous, like, sort of just up, like, ooh, like tense feeling into the gameplay, into the fundamentals of what they were putting out there.
Yeah.
So yeah. And honestly, again, at this time, like, they weren't just... They were attacking everything. They were looking for any fucking thing besides, you know, the fact that these kids were psychopaths.
Yep.
Yeah.
And were able to access guns very easily.
I'm gonna cite the last podcast on the Love series once again on the Columbine series. Like, they talked about how after it turned into, the Satanic Panic, and also, like, it turned into this whole, like, goths that kill type thing, because they were, like, weird outcasts, and then some reason everyone was like, oh, it's goths, and it's like, okay, we're very mellow people in general, but that's fine.
Those dangerous goths taking a little slag of their cigarette right there, waiting outside the club and not getting in,
Right, but if you look at every click, every subset, like, someone in that subset has killed someone. Like, it's not just specific, just because, like, you know, like, whatever. No. Just because we're wearing black doesn't mean, you know, like, come on. Like, don't be so, like, surface level.
Oh,
whatever.
My God. David Berkowitz liked wheat toast. Should we stop wheat toast?
Yeah, seriously.
Fuck. Oh, but he was the son of Sam, everybody. Like, holy shit. He talked to dogs. What kind of biscuits did he buy? Yeah.
Oh, it's my God. It's bullshit.
When you said goths, I just got a flashback of the fucking South Park goths, dude.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking, too. Taking a drag and dancing in the room by themselves at 3 a.m. Fuck.
First of all, who put cameras in my room?
Oh, that's funny. No, I mean, like, I remember, again, another example we talked about in our 100th episode, The Simpsons, is my mom saying, you can't watch the episode where Bart sells his soul. Because that's very unchristian, and I fucking did it anyways. And you know what? Kill demons, I'm fine.
You're just like, I'm fine.
Just have a mild caffeine addiction to coffee, but I mean, you're fine. Yeah, you're functioning adult. You're all good. Well,
that would happen anyways, because I have a naturally addictive personality.
Yeah. Great.
But I mean, like, at the time, you would think with the narrative that it was like, well, now you're going to sacrifice animals and do all this other bullshit. And realistically, no. That's not how people grow up.
Yeah.
Like, there's a catharsis to doing these things. And you know what?
Having demons is relatable because we've seen this shit in our churches every fucking time, just tossing it to us. They're like, yeah, okay, cool. John, whatever, fucking, let's just kill him.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. So what would you rate Doom out of 5 Slayers?
That's what I was waiting for right there. Go for it, yeah.
5 out of 5. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to get a little risky and say 5 out of 5 Steins just because I can't Slayer like James can, but yeah.
Everybody can Slayer like I can. You just have to believe in yourself.
Just believe.
Yeah, no, I'm going 5 out of 5 Slayer!
A for effort. I don't feel like I can rate this because I haven't played it, so I'm just going to say I was very excited to go along on this journey. Thank you for bringing me along.
This journey with the Doom, what, Alex?
What?
I was about to say Doom Slayer.
Oh, I was just like, that setup was, I was just like, huh?
Yeah, he did that to me earlier, and I was like, I don't understand what, oh. Well, I'm going to give it 5 out of 5 Slayer.
Yep.
Because, of course, like I said, it paved the way for all of our first-person shooters. So there you go.
All right. Well, I think that will wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much, guys, for coming back. Thank you, James, for coming back 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
Thank you, Alex, for coming back. The guys from N4L Gaming. If you like what you heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribing wherever you are listening. It means the world to us and it helps, you know, keep us all boosted on all the charts and all the bullshit that I don't really know, but that's fine. Next week, we have another guest.
That's right.
Although this one is going to be a little different. I'm very excited. It's a little different for us. I'm just going to spoil it. My father is joining us next week. Yeah, my dad is joining next week. We're covering something that is near and dear to both of our hearts, something that he introduced to me, and it didn't feel right to cover it without him joining. So,
and I've never seen it, so it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. So I'm very excited. It's a found footage, kind of. It's alien-esque, kind of.
Fits the theme.
It fits the theme, kind of. It's going to be a fun time, so I hope you join us for that.
Just thank God Phil's not back, dude.
You guys are mean.
you should see when we're all in a room together. It's fucking horrible.
Fuck you, Phil.
And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod. And then you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. If you would like to follow Anthony, he's on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Yo.
And then I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. My Twitter is currently all Star Wars right now, just so you know.
Pedro Pascal's the goat. That's right.
Fuck yeah.
That's our fucking boy.
And then where can we find you, fine gentlemen?
You can find me on Instagram at the_mighty_monarch. And Attack of the Clones is the worst Star Wars film ever made. Thank you very much. This is my last episode. I will see you guys later.
Oh, Groot. A Groot heart of Groot.
I have to see that in real quick.
This is my house.
I would like to offer my resignation from the Horrible People's Podcast. Thank you very much.
And
we have Empire... you next month scheduled.
And Empire Strikes Back is the worst. Oh my god.
No.
Here we go.
Oh boy.
Another hour right here. Let's do it.
No.
We'll get into it.
Come back to that, dude.
I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry for that.
You opened that can of worms.
Anyways, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, N4L Gaming. Probably need to start updating that again, but you know what? Life's been crazy in this past year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's been a weird fucking year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the inflammatory statement.
The true statement.
Fuck you, James.
Yeah, end it there.